Yo, what's up, boys? Looks like we got episode 29 of Wrecked Radio here lined up on a busy news day for markets around the world with the Fed meeting going on. So I've got a hard cut at 1:55 Eastern. What's good?
How this is going to keep happening, you know. The Fed thing happens every 6 weeks, so
yeah. Well, you know, every 6 weeks I get to trade a little bit and not get to just stare at the same fucking price because I think the price will change today.
Yeah.
But, I mean, maybe it won't because it's been the same price for quite a while. But anyway, before we get into that, let's introduce our sponsors. OSF, you can take it away.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. As you guys know, this show is sponsored by Rollbit, one of the most active crypto casinos out there. You can do anything from sports betting, leverage trading, futures trading, NFT borrowing, lending, NFT trading itself, I believe, as well. So anything... degenerate, check out rollbit.com or rollbot.com because they probably have it on their platform. And as usual, we have two codes to give away. So the first code that we have is coupon 9299. It's coupon 9299, and I've shared that on the YouTube stream. Make sure you check out the Rug Radio YouTube channel. I'll pin a tweet with the link to it now if you guys want to watch this on video as well.
Yeah, great. Good stuff. So what do we need to talk about beforehand? I mean, you guys were NFT Lisbon. That's already over. I don't know. NFTs are pretty slow. Crypto hasn't moved in a long time, but maybe it'll move today. Probably not.
Do you think we're screwed? You seem pretty aggressive about the...
Yeah, I would have to say we look pretty screwed considering the fact that the stock market squeezes every fucking day and goes up like 100 days in a row and crypto doesn't go up. And I mean, so wait, when one a little bit of weakness, you would assume it's going to go down, but maybe it's inversely correlated and all the money will flow from stocks down to crypto. I don't know. I mean,
I think since we last spoke, there was that epic sell-off in all those alts, right? But
Bitcoin, yeah, no, we caught that.
Really not moving that much, right? They're moving.
Nothing's moved a lot since then. I don't know. I mean, like, dude, this is like some crazy relative weakness in my opinion, especially in ETH. I really don't see how it resolves that. Goes higher, yeah, short squeeze. I mean, wow. Like, there's, I don't know. It's pretty obvious, but sometimes the obvious works. Like, it doesn't always have to be the not obvious that works. So, anyway, since we're talking about the market going down, why don't we bring in Trader SZ? Because, I mean, he's bearish sometimes. I mean, like, I'm bearish sometimes. People seem to think I'm a perma bear. They call him a perma bear. I don't know. I mean, like, I don't think we're perma bears. SZ, how are you doing today?
I'm okay, thanks. How are you? Thanks for bringing me on.
Yeah, of course, man. I'm doing well. So why don't we segue you into a little bit about your thoughts on the near-term market action and what you think is going to happen before we get into the meat of the Wrecked Radio show today?
I still think bearish. I mean, what is bearish? Is bearish short-term, bearish long-term? I think until at least to around... hang on. My laptop, so bear with me. At least to around 4.5-ish, 23K. 23K is my line in the sand.
Yeah.
I think that we're going to go there. It's a retest of old range highs as well. And 1,600 at least for F. And then once it reaches that midpoint, which is the middle of the range currently we're in, we'll decide then. So everything for me is pointing downwards. I mean, I'm not emotional. I think it's just for what I think the market's going to do. I mean, I think we've got proof of that even with this short-term dollar coming down. Equities going up, Bitcoin still breaking down. If you look at it, it's actually breaking down, lower highs, lower lows, mm-hmm. off of key higher time frame resistance, which people seem to forget. And if you flip to the 1 month chart, I think it tells a lot instead of looking at the lower time frame.
Yeah, no, I'd have to agree with you. I think those are maybe even conservative targets for how the price action's reacting.
So it's like, market conservative, but yeah,
like, I mean, it feels like it might overshoot the downside to me. I don't know, just because like how weak it is.
I mean, I've got targets set at 19.6 personally, but 23 is just a watch, and 19.6 ultimately, easily 19.6.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm in that camp too, just because Mando's like, what? The liquid squeeze from 19 to fucking 30,000. I mean, it seemed like a liquid low float, essentially, type bullshit action, but. I mean, I guess we'll see. It might take time. Anyway, do you have any comments about the market, Mando OSF, before we talk about other stuff?
I don't know. Maybe my view is really just the confidence of which you guys have that prediction. Like, I think we can get into it a bit more, but like, there's a lot of you guys are talking about it. Like, you're very certain that's going to happen. And
yeah, beyond certain.
I'm not a big Chelsea guy. So maybe we can get into why you guys have such faith in it. Like, maybe the results of trading like that. How's the best way to trade like that? But yeah, I think that's probably a good place to kind of start. Well, I guess we can start with like how you came into the market, but maybe we'll get to the evolution of why you guys are so confident at those sort of levels.
But the interview on me now too, huh?
It feels like nice. You two have a lot to talk about. You guys are always.
I'm just looking at the price action. I'm just looking at the price action, and this is what the price action says, Mando. I don't let any of this hopium get into my blood. But yeah, see, why don't we talk, like Mando said, why don't we talk about your beginnings, how you became a trader? Like, where'd you start with everything? Were you always crypto? How long's it been?
No, I started, I was trading while at university. I mean, I knew nothing about crypto back then. I've got a traditional market background. And then I joined a few firms, trading FX and indices and some bonds. And then it's just since late 2017 I got into crypto. I'm still full-time traditional markets, FX and indices mainly. But yeah, I do a bit of crypto now as well. Even though I just post crypto, I just don't talk too much about my traditional market. And that's it. I've just been trading since university, done nothing else. So full-time, I think about 12 years now, over 12 years.
12 years, yeah. I mean, that's a similar background to me, similar duration. Maybe that's why we have the same fields. It's just like, I don't know. I'm just talking about the price action now. Mando.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm just looking at it as I'm simplifying it down, all the noise. It's just one big range. And the way I've been doing it for the past 12 years has worked so far. And all I'm doing is the same thing. I'm just seeing it as one big range. If you look at the BTC monthly chart weekly, it's just a retest of 30K-ish area. So unless 32K gets flipped, I'll go long. I've been swing long, that is. That doesn't mean I can't take short-term positions. But position-wise, I mean, it's just a retest, first-time retest of resistance. And there's no reason why we can't retest 18 to 20K range lows. And then we'll see, maybe long again, 25, 30K, and then short again until it resolves itself both ways.
I have a quick question on that. So it sounds like right now you're seeing some sort of pattern or some sort of validation that says it should drop to 23K or 19K or whatever. But if you saw price action that maybe it hit 30K again or another high level, it would invalidate that thesis and maybe validate a different thesis. I don't know if I understood that correctly or not. But if I did, doesn't that just end up meaning that like you end up like buying it at higher prices and selling it at lower prices because you're looking for these like validation points that only occur when prices get hit outside of range?
If I'm leveraged trading, does it really matter, does it? It's just spot. That would only concern me if I'm buying higher prices. But the price doesn't matter. I've got an invalidation point. I've got my target. I'm watching the price action. That's it. It's just the confidence of a swing long that we've bottomed that is above 30K. But from 30K to, or 31K, you want to call it, till 18, 20K, that's a big range right now we're in.
Yeah.
We haven't broken out of that. So it doesn't make sense for me personally to break beyond that unless you've got some fundamental reason behind it, which I don't see anytime soon. And, you know, we would have seen, I think, Bitcoin above 32K by now with what equities are doing, even with this dollar pullback. But I think one sneeze from equities, a bit of a relief, I think could get dangerous for crypto. I mean, look at it now. Okay, now equities pulling back a bit. BTC couldn't even give me, I even wanted a rally. I mean, I'm bearish, but even I wanted a rally and I'm not getting them.
Yeah.
I've got a few, we just go down from here, especially F. When KBM was mentioning F, that looks really weak to me.
The price action ETH is just like really, really bad. I mean, you don't see kind of stuff like that unless a big, like, you know, capitulation type nuke is going to happen at some point to the downside. I mean, just like you're saying right now, like, look, the equity market went down fucking, I don't know, less than 0.5%, and we're like already starting to bleed. So imagine like 1 to 3% down, which is still not even much considering how much equities are up.
Yeah.
You could see some serious damage done in crypto. I mean, like, it's like you're saying, for the flip long in this area, you need something to make you bullish. I don't know. If it's not a price validation, price action, but like some kind of fundamentals, even though there's not fundamentals in crypto, and you just don't see any of that. If anything, it's a negative
feedback
loop with the SEC. liquidity, market maker's gone. I don't know.
Do you guys think there's an argument to say we maybe just lost that correlation? Like we had ETH, we had Bitcoin pumped to 30K and ETH pumped to like 2100 and stocks did like nothing. And then stocks rallied and like ETH and Bitcoin are down like 10%, whatever it is, like in that same time. It just feels like the correlation that we saw a lot of last year.
You can't lose it this much. It hasn't.
I think it's timing of correlations because people try to play correlation 100% of the time. There's timings where you play and timings where you don't.
Yeah.
So right now, I'm seeing this equity rally as just squeeze. And in a bear market, you get these, you get violent squeezes. If you've traded, I mean, I've only traded 12 years. That's nothing. And I've studied price action before, all bear markets. This is a normal behavior. It will squeeze everybody out and then it will come in one go. So if that's a squeeze, then that's not a legit move from Bitcoin equities, in my opinion. Hence why one of my arguments is that's why Bitcoin's not moving. Because the players that are into equities as well, you know, they've entered crypto playground as well. They're not pushing Bitcoin. I see it dangerous as well. I mean, it's not really a safe haven. Think about it. It can do 10-20% in one go, boom. But equities seem a bit safer to me than crypto. But when that does turn, I think then you'll see correlation come back. And then people won't want that correlation at that moment in time.
So can we maybe get into the how you look at stuff? You obviously, like I said, you come from a traditional markets background. And obviously, you know the fundamentals across different markets. In terms of being more of a chart follower in crypto versus other markets, do you look at stuff slightly different? So for me, crypto feels like one of those ones where the 99% of stuff goes to zero and then the 1% goes exponential. And whereas traditional market stocks don't really act like that. Like diversification in crypto can be trash, whereas in other markets it can be quite good. And mean reversion tactics, I think, across stock indices perhaps even make more sense in that world. So like, is there a way you look at these charts and in FX as well, slightly different to how you look at
I mean, yeah, I mean, the blueprint of how I trade is more or less the same, you know, entry triggers, parameters and stuff. But with crypto, I mean, I only really take seriously BTC and ETH, really. The alts, I mean, I don't know, they've got their own. I mean, everybody's doing their own pump and dumps and this, that, the other. But I love that as well. I mean, I don't want crypto market to run. It's made me a lot of money from these big pumps. But when it comes to trading, I don't take BTC and ETH seriously. And what's helped the traditional market side is now the playground for Bitcoin changed past couple of years. It does trade like a risk asset. So when I'm going over my macro views for Bitcoin, I mean, so far it's never failed me following the macro view for dollar indices. So far, it's just the short window of decoupling doesn't really mean much. There's other factors behind it. It goes through phases, which you have to cater for in your system. But no, I when I'm trading Bitcoin, Ethereum, I always first look at what the bonds are doing, what gold's doing, what dollar's doing. And then if it lines up with my Bitcoin, then I'll have a high probability setup to increase my risk. If it's just a range bound, then it just got all the rules out the window. They trade within the range. Smaller risk. I keep it as simple as that, really. I just trade within what I know. Outside of that, predicting these long-term moves, I'm just a PA trader. I'm not that big to be thinking that long term.
So maybe let's go from first principles. What are you looking for on a chart? Like you pull up a chart, how are you thinking about resistance, how are you thinking about support, how are you thinking about all the sort of stuff that, let's break it down to somebody who needs a crash course in looking at something like this.
So even if I'm short-term day trading, I always do, this is just a routine, yearly chart, mark up my yearly levels. I want to see where the market's at. Is it closer to resistance? Is it closer to the midpoint? Is it closer to key support? And I'll draw my quarterly, monthly, and that's my playground. And within that, if it's close to resistance, obviously I'm leaning more towards the short side and vice versa. And then if it's in the middle of nowhere and it's within those, so, I don't know, resistance and mid-range boundaries, then I'll half that boundary up and create a quartiles. And then from there, I mean, that will just tell me, I mean, okay, it's choppy. Just mark out intra-week levels the way I do for my higher time frames. So I just draw a range. It's just ranges, everything, whether it's a trend. If you zoom out with a trend, it's in some sort of range, unless it's price discovery. Or if you zoom into a lower time frame, price action is price action. So I treat it the same, more or less. If I identify where my range is, was capping it, the upside, downside. So if it's choppy, I'll use smaller ranges, day trade scalp. If it's a bigger range, then I'll go medium-term trade. And that's all I did. I established where was capping both sides and just buy sell support both sides. If I'm heavily bearish, probably I don't buy support. Then. I let it pull back and I just keep some resistance until I've got a good reason to do so.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. It's like it's a simplistic strategy. And I mean, I think mine's pretty simple too. I mean, are you using a ton of indicators and shit? I really don't use barely any. So what about you? Do you use any indicators over there, Trader SE? Uh-oh. Did we lose him? Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you, yeah. Oh, I think we may have lost.
Just, no one reacted. I was like, oh. Well, I think the market's breaking down. Maybe you had to run and short some shit. I don't know.
I'm short. I'm short. I'm heading for the robot leaderboards.
I'm short too.
But I'm short alts. I just prefer being short alts to.
Well, yeah, on Robit is nice to short small. Yeah.
You're back.
I was asking. I said your trading strategy sounds pretty simplistic, and I said mine's pretty simplistic as well. And I think
you're already learning. You learn simple stuff, then you take a whole U-turn, learning complicated shit, and then say, "What the fuck's that for?" And you come all the way back down. It's simple. It's just knowing when to apply and when not to apply. I think when not to apply is the most important. Systems remain the same. You obviously have to adjust with volatility and stuff, but other than that, it's just the same thing day in, day out.
Yeah. How do you think about like risk management and sizing, and taking different plays and sizing plays differently? I think like a lot of new traders definitely size plays improperly. Take the same size in each play, risk too much of the bankroll. I would love to get into how you think.
Yeah, I think people try to run before they can walk. I think what the important thing is, that's what people say. I'll start with a fixed risk. There's truth to that, where start with a fixed risk, like 0.5%, just so you can survive until you've got some sort of base system that works for you. Then when you've got that and you've got that under your belt and you've got the confidence and proof, then you will naturally know when to increase your size from what you learn. That is something you learn yourself. So whenever I tell somebody and they develop, I won't even have to tell that guy when to increase the risk. Because of what he's done so far and proven, he'll know that setup and increase more. So for example, say in a trend market, this is where I rinse it. I need 3-4 of these a year and that's it, I'm done. That's where I make most of my money. But I do in a sensible way. I'll start off with a wide stop, decent, small risk, but then I'll compound, anticipating a range for whatever reason, a trend, sorry, for a reason, and I compound it hard. And I'll milk the whole leg out like that until I'm trailed out. Whereas if I'm day trading within a chop, I reduce my risk completely or don't trade. And that's as simple as I keep it. It's compound, compound, compound. And certain setups I have, which have proven to me high probability, I push my boundary. I say 3% is my max. I push it to 3. For certain setups that are valid, but not so high probability, I'll reduce it to 1. But that's something that I find hard to explain. That's something only you will know for your own system. And I can teach somebody the exact same thing I do, but you won't trade the same. So I think that's risk is something you develop and you learn yourself. But you start off with a small set amount of risk, so you can survive and not blow out before giving yourself the chance. And then when you prove yourself, you will automatically know that setup, I risk more, that I risk less because of the process you've been through.
How much risk do you have on this second?
Oh, for fuck's sake. I've reached my limits like you.
Yeah, I'm next.
I've got 2 accounts open right now.
I know. It feels like that spot. It feels like one of those spots where you really need to be maxed here.
I know. I'm away from home as well, so if I have to rush off, because half a second, I've got my login for one of my accounts, so I've got to go on my phone.
I love that. Once I shorted a bunch and left my authenticator phone at home on purpose and logged out, and it ended up working. I went on a trip and it worked, but
famously
you have access to your shit. But where was I going to pivot to with this? I mean, I think I was going to ask about, I actually don't remember. Man, no, you got anything?
I was going to ask like some of the terminology that I think like our audience perhaps aren't like day traders. What do you mean by compounding? What do you mean by like, how exactly are you putting on these trades? How are you defining your stop loss for people? You said a wide one, but is there any sort of like?
So for example's sake, when I was shorting, I don't know, around 30K-ish, where was I? I didn't have a clear invalidation that the markets told me it's topped out. But that's a small risk. It's a risk.
Oh, we lost him again.
Did you say he's in Russia? Is that the Russian internet or something?
What did you say it was?
I couldn't hear you said. Lost him again.
I didn't hear him say he was in Russia, but.
Oh, I don't know. I thought I heard that. I don't know what the fuck I'm hearing. Technical difficulties, a staple. of the Wrecked Radio production, not our production team.
I like how different our money makers are each fucking week. Like, this is completely different to last week and the week before. Like,
yeah.
This is kind of more similar to how you trade, I think.
No, Trader SE is definitely.
Sorry about that. My internet's been at max. It's not good. Where was I at? So what I was saying when I was initially shorting, I
think shorting 30K, you were saying, yeah.
Yeah. So I think one or two attempts, but I know that I'm completely wrong. So 32K, that's my complete line in the sand. So that's a starting point, but it's not going to be my full risk. It's going to be small. Now, just in case it turns, because Bitcoin got that nature. And then once a high is established, where, okay, it's turned, it's made, like, it's broken down, then I've got a new invalidation. So say my max risk allocation is 2%. Then I'll reduce the stop loss, and then I'll add 2% risk on. And then and that is for a trend move. So I've got to say, I think it's going to reach 23K. Each time it breaks down, gives me a new invalidation, then I'll reduce the risk, I'll reduce the stop, maintaining that 2% risk. So by the end of it, I've grown a whole massive position. And I've got no reason to exit the trade because my thesis says that's a high probability target. Now, obviously, sometimes markets may give me a reason to exit early. But until that, and if you catch one or two like that, you've actually got a massive position, but I'm only risking 2% at any one point, if that makes sense. So new validation, reduce stop, add position. New validation, reduce stop, add position. Maintaining fixed risk.
That's pretty sick, yeah. It's like a compounding swing trade of sorts.
So yes, what percentage of your trades do you reckon are successful versus not successful? It sounds like you're really just going for one or two big...
It varies. I mean, I just come to a point where I just trade around board now. I'd say those type of setups are probably about 4 or 5 in a year, but those are big moves. It depends. I'm not just trading crypto, remember. I'm looking for that same thing. I'm looking for a copper, or I'm trading wheat market, or I'm trading gold. So there's always something that's trending when one's quiet. And then I've got my normal intra week setups, which are my favorite, because they're quick, short term. Bells, I get 2-3 a week. I mean, it's hard to not catch those. Those are less risk because also can't do that kind of big position. But Bitcoin, Ethereum, just day trade, I'll draw out my Monday's range if you see me boast. If that proves to me as capping the market, play up and down both sides. And that's my bread and butter intra week. And if it doesn't make sense, I'll stay out. I'll let the market come to me instead of chasing it. I find that grows your equity. And if it's proven to be a higher strike rate, so for example, say that trending one, that usually is above 60%, I'd say. But the intra-week one's probably about, I don't know, 60, 70. And then we've got shittier ones that are like 40%, but are still valid. You see what I mean? So it varies. It's just, it's come to a point where I've cut off so much of my strategies and I'm so picky with them now. So it's not one strike rate I can say for any.
It sounds like you have a really good handle on discipline then, and which definitely traders need to be successful. What would you say as a starting trader or just a trader in general are the most important factors and intangibles to have in your game along with discipline? We lost them. I thought I heard a cut right before I asked.
I thought it cut.
Yeah, I just fucking sent it anyway.
Man, we need to... We have another motorway guest.
God damn it. Trader Z.
Oh my God.
Well, I would say discipline, patience. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't know. This feels slightly different to other styles of trading. Like, like I said, it's like one or two big setups every single year. I guess that's very similar to how you're kind of looking at stuff. Remember, like,
I'm trading every day, but it's like the biggest money obviously comes from things that are obvious that you should probably be waiting for. And like today could be one of those obvious spots. It has potential to be, but like news events, catalyst events, things like earnings, things like that. And I mean, just like economic events. So yeah, those are the big spots. And then in the middle, you try not to chop yourself up and keep the risk pretty low. And the size low, and I guess that's where the discipline comes in, and not chasing losses or anything like that that are incurred along the way. I guess we're just keep going without it.
Get it back.
I think he's back.
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry, I keep copting up.
I think I left off with asking you that saying you had a, like, sounds like you have a lot of discipline that you let the market come to you like this.
I mean, if you think about it, that's what trading's about, isn't it? At the end of the day, the discipline, the strategy, I mean, it's not that hard.
Right.
It's just the confidence from proving it to yourself that it's profitable. And then the discipline, I mean, even I lose it sometimes. I just unleash it through shitposting. When I'm high, when I'm overdrive shitposting, it looks like I'm on cocaine. 5 days straight, no sleep. Could be back, but anyways, that's when I'm venting out. That's when I'm not trading. But when I go quiet, that's when I'm trading.
Yeah,
that's just like distracting me. Yeah.
What other intangibles would you say make a successful trader? Like, what kind of things should people starting out, or if they're struggling, like, what should they focus on?
I don't know. You just gotta have an arrogant mentality sometimes. I don't know. If I didn't have an arrogant mentality where I'm better than the market, in the sense, you're gonna have your
confidence about it
as well.
It's confidence.
But if I let the market, oh, that's too difficult. You're not gonna make it already. You know, people say market's too difficult.
But did we lose them? Brother, how? What kind of internet is this?
Professional trader.
Oh, yeah. How the fuck are you trading on this internet, SZ? I've got like one terabyte, 1,000 gigs.
I'm back. I'm not at home at the moment, so when I'm home internet, it's working TikTok.
I'm just fucking around.
I was just gonna say you need an arrogant mentality in the sense where nothing's too difficult. And if it is, you see, okay, it's not my condition. That's all. But the moment you start wasting mental real estate, that's tough. You just prove you're a pussy and you can't really trade. But I need that anyway. I need to see like that ego thing to keep going. Otherwise, I would have probably failed ages ago. It's just probably a psychological thing I do to myself.
So I know like you go back and forth. You said even before, like you like shit posting, like, looking at crypto, it seems like you do go after quite a lot of different alts for crap narratives. Is that what you see as like the biggest flaw with crypto? Are you a crypto believer, or do you think so much of this?
To be honest with you, I have no clue what the fuck crypto does. I have no idea about the tech. All I know is sometimes I can do certain things, pay certain things with the crypto. But other than that, I have no idea what these. I mean, I don't think you need the coins for the tech. As far as I know, for me, it's just a good shorting mechanism. I mean, I love the alt size short. Just people recommending them to me. I have no idea where they are. I see somebody post a chart. Oh, that looks like a good short. I'm going to short it. No idea what it is, where they come from. And I'll just smack it. Then there's got enough volume on there. But yeah, I don't really believe in... I mean, I think that's big. I think believing in the narrative and stuff, I think that's a big brainwashing for people. Convinces them to become hodlers. I mean, come on. Every single coin, apart from the early days, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, whatever, they all come back down tonight and all the way back down again. So can you really hodl crypto if you think about it? Play the cycle, that's fine. But eventually, that's going to come all the way back down 99%, no matter how good the tech is. Unless there's a coin I've missed, that's just keep going and I don't know about. Everything's come back down.
I think that's a very fair
criticism. It's liquidity games.
I think it's a very fair criticism. I think dancing around shorting altcoins just seems like a long-term winner. I don't know, in this market. But and you can definitely play on other people's emotions. But I think as a trader, I guess it can be a little bit difficult because it's like shorting meme coins. Like, it's the sort of thing that tails can always be crazy and like one day it can just be up 100% and you kind of get screwed. So when you short, I guess you're doing... only 3% of your portfolio, so at any one time you're not really getting caught in any of these, or have you been caught before shorting any of these altcoins? Like, some of these moves can be crazy, particularly during bull markets.
Yeah. No, I was actually going to ask the same question, Mando, because my biggest losses are from shorting altcoins or a low float stock or something. And because it's uncapped, and it really is uncapped sometimes when they're super thin and you take too much size. I was going to ask him about his biggest loss. Wonder what it is. Sounds like he cuts things off quickly. Yeah. I mean, I lost $4 million once in a day shorting. That was just shitty. That was my biggest loss.
I guess the problem is, like, when you short something, the most it can go down is 100%. When you're long something in crypto, the most thing up is like thousands of percent. And I think where people get caught offside is like, you over time, your expected value from being long things is probably higher than your expected value from being short things, unless you're like super good at like picking the right stuff.
I think the difference is though we're trading different time frames. Like I'm doing day trades in these shorts, and I don't think people realize that either. It's like I lost that much in a day. Like you shouldn't be shorting and holding against you, and like especially in crypto.
Yeah,
where things can get super fucking crazy if you try to short and hold.
Yeah,
I mean that's where things get a little bit dicey.
That's why I quite like levered shorts more, because it always takes you out of your position, right? You're just out.
Yeah, I'm talking altcoins at least. So Bitcoin and ETH, you could short and hold. You have a little.
I think it's fixed. Thank you.
You're back.
You're back.
Yeah. So you know, next time if I ever do come on again, I'm gonna make sure it's from my main computer.
We're gonna make you a direct plug-in and like a picture proof of you fucking plugged into a wall.
No, I'm in the country somewhere, and the internet, I don't know, is just fucking. I'm surprised I've got something. That's why I haven't done live streams lately. I've been just uploading them.
All good. I think Amanda, you had a question you had asked for before you disconnected.
No, it's just like, how do you manage the risk of shorting altcoins? Like it's a fucking dangerous game.
I mean, I think I'll risk a bit less, but just either stop, a bit of slippage you're gonna get. I don't know. I mean,
I was gonna say, you don't ever find yourself fading and holding like an altcoin, like that's not your strategy.
I've got no emotion. If I'm wrong, fuck it, I'm out. I'll take the loss. So, what's the point of building it up? Next trade. I mean, I've done that before in my early days, in FX days, holding. And the one thing you think it won't run like Aussie dollar when it was so low volatility, you think it won't move at 30 pips a day. That one time you hold, it starts doing 100 pips a day against you. But yeah, no, I just cut it straight away. Next trade. What's the point of holding towards massive losses when you got the next trade ready, make it back? And the more you do that, the easier it becomes to cut the position. So if you gain the habit of cutting early when you're wrong, moving on, it's either the system is not working properly, or you got to adjust the parameters because sometimes volatility changes, or you're just too emotional. There's no room for emotion in this.
Yeah, no, I'd have to agree. I mean, I cut losers quickly as well, but sometimes, I mean, like I'm not always using stop orders, I guess, so things can move super quickly. And if you have too much leverage, obviously you're putting in a little bit of a bind if it's a liquid. You know, you've never, what's your biggest loss? Have you taken any massive losses?
I've taken a couple of some big. I mean, I don't use on alts, I don't. And BTC and ETH, I do. I'm not that big. But alts, I know. I just have like I scale out a bit. Mm. I don't have a hard stop. No, it's a couple of times I've done that. My stop gets triggered really quick. I always use a wider stop. When I'm trading alts, especially alts, I always use a wider stop. But I'm usually quick to get out early. I don't know how people do it. I mean, maybe I'm not that good. You know, the really tight stops people use. How the fuck do you guys do that?
Just use their liquidation. It's easy.
Yeah. Well, you just put a set amount in and that's fine as well. But no, I like you said, you don't use a stop. I use a wider one. I do have something in just in case like this, my internet goes. Well, usually there you won't.
What about the big losses?
Oh, I've taken, I think my biggest was recent, about 4 million or 5 million loss. I think I took a hit.
How do you overcome those kind of losses? I mean,
okay, next trade. I've had it before.
Next trade, that's it. Just fucking.
Next trade, fuck it. What's the point of crying about it? Is it going to make any difference? No. Move on. I mean, not the end of the day world. Move on. Yeah. Next trade. Make it back.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's how you have to be. You have to have a short term memory, right, as a trader. But I think about it.
What good does it do you anyway? If you cry about it, like, what good does it really do? It doesn't ease in the burden. You know, it makes it worse. But if you move on, quick forward, okay, where do I go around? What can I do differently? And just get on with it. If by the process itself, you already got over it.
What about, I think we had a question from the audience here. I was looking back real quick. Somebody wants to know, why do you trade and why would you put your life efforts here? Like, do you enjoy trading or like, is it just a vehicle to make money and you're going to move on to something else? Like, what's the goal with trading?
Yeah, I love trading. Trading's all I've done. That's all I know. I've done trading since university. So why move to something else when this is all I know? I've got other stuff I do, but trading is, that's my main thing. So why not? You do something you enjoy, right? I don't see it as a job. So how many people can say that? Yeah. As simple as that.
Yeah. Definitely affords the freedoms and be your own boss and whatnot. And
yeah, and again, lost in somewhere with no internet. Yeah.
Exactly.
So maybe we talk about your biggest wins. Like, talk about your biggest losses. What are the trades that you were normally successful on? Is there a pattern to those trades?
Yeah, I mean, just waiting for. I mean, now it. I've had some big wins on some handful of alts, but I don't include that as trading. That's just like any monkey here can get lucky and gain and ride out. I think most of us here have been there. For my trades, we're well, like just being picky with a handful of moves. That's when I know. I mean, usually I like the seasonal tendencies when I see trending moves in dollar and equities and stuff. Like January is usually a good time. May, April, September, and maybe sometime in November. And I know there's going to be a trend move, so I'll wait for that. And that's when. What helps is to hold a swing position. And when I know these times have historically proven to be very, very profitable, I'll day trade around it so it doesn't affect my swing position. So I'll build up, like I explained earlier, how I build my swing, but then I'll day trade. So that's a completely separate account. I don't even look at that. I have it automated to an extent, like a hybrid, to remove emotion. And when it tells me it's ready to compound, I just compound without thinking twice. And I'm making money short-term trading, so I'm not worried about I'm going to bank this, I'm going to do this. And before you know it, you followed exactly how it should be. Even if it works 5 times out of 10, that's worth it for me. So, I mean, there's no right or wrong way. You've got to be in the gray area all the time. A lot of the times it goes against me. But what I know is when I nail it a couple of times, that's all I need. And those are the biggest wins I've ever had.
So you have a system, you have a trend for like a...
Yeah, it's like whatever I do, but I've sort of automated as much as I can to remove emotion. It's more hybrid, but that's just to remove my emotion. Obviously, I still overlook it and make sure everything's going fine, but it does help.
What are the things you put into that?
It's just whatever I've discussed really. Certain things I can't go too deep into, but it's mainly breaking down when I see a clean range breakout, put it that way. And when it puts into context other factors. But yeah, I'll keep that part to that. But yeah, it's not as complicated as people think. Automation must be so complicated. It's just real system. It's basically what I've said. But it's just, I've had somebody do it for me. I'm not good at this kind of shit. Where I worked at, there actually was an Asian quant. He's built it. He's a genius guy. I don't know, man. This guy just plays games all day and just does all this shit. But yeah, he's built it for me. Just from what I've told him about my trading. And that just more or less just tells me when to step in again or when to exit. And that's it. That's more or less the basics of it. And that's it. I don't look at it. When I get alerted, I go to it. It just removes my emotion, that's all.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's definitely good in this day and age, especially with everything going on with algos. Automation is pretty much necessary.
Do you use anything like that, KBM? Do you use any like...
I mean, I'm using different softwares and execution softwares, but I don't have it set up like he's talking. I mean, my trading's so short-term that I don't really have these multi-day swings where you need to, you know, compound or remove emotion. I mean, I guess I've been soaking in the short for quite a while, but I probably should have used something like that considering I've been fucking churning it like an idiot. But that's for another show. We'll see how it resolves. But what is Trader SZ doing in his spare time? Like, what do you think the end game is? Like, what do you do in the downtime? Because, you know, trading is a lot of waiting and a lot of research trying to find spots. But there's got to be, what's the hobbies? What's the routine like?
I used to go a lot before COVID, at least horse riding. I still love horse riding. Takes my mind off things. Now I just travel a lot. Got homes quite a few places. So I'm rarely ever in the UK now. That's where I'm from. Rarely ever. And I travel a lot, but I know I'm never going to stop, even when I'm on vacation or whatever. But I come to a compromise with my own mind, if you want to put it that way. I will still trade. I'm never going to stop. I do it every day. But I do it from a nicer place, and it helps your mindset. It helps me refresh, and that's more or less it. It's kind of a boring life in a sense, but I enjoy what I do. But there's no such thing. Whatever I want to do, I like racing. That's one thing I like doing. I like going for a race from a young age. That's about it.
No, boring's good. I mean, it could be worse than traveling. Horseback riding.
There's other hobbies I have as well. We'll not mention here, but yeah.
Yeah, of course. I'm on it. No, that's great. Where the fuck was I going with this? No, yeah, I mean, like, I think I'm similar way. Just, you know, you got to have that downtime to refresh the mental. Do you use any, like, sort of mindset coaching, or do you do anything like that? Or
one thing I really enjoy doing is studying history. That's my hobby as well. Yeah, I wanted to mention that history, military leaders, the way they think. You can improve your training a lot from shit like that. That's the way they think. They think differently. It's how you look at the markets. To make real money, you've got to look at it differently compared to everybody else. I just like their thought process. What actually resonates with human nature rather than what we've been told. What we've been told clearly doesn't work. But when what resonates with people, how to communicate to people. I try to transfer those kind of skills onto the markets, believe it or not. So when I'm on the markets, what is he telling me? I'm talking to it in a sense. Or he's talking to me. So every condition is different. So one thing amazing I learned is how certain military leaders used to talk to certain people just to win them over if you're harsh and stuff. And that's one thing. I think that's past year or so. That's probably been most of my pastime. I don't know. Since COVID and stuff, you can't do much. So I got into that routine. And I find that fascinating. History, studying history, I think, helps me a lot. And what mistakes people made before. Those kind of mistakes are basic human nature mistakes that can be transferred to modern day times. And I apply that to the markets when I can. I don't know if that made sense, but yeah.
No, it does. I mean, it's all human psychology, right? And it's like kind of that's how the patterns are created. And then it's like as a trader, you're also fighting yourself and your own psychology to be good. So you said that you try to like – you're basically anti following the herd, which is kind of like my type of strategy too. So what are your best sources for finding these anti patterns, these counter trades?
Oh, shit.
Did we lose you?
No, I think we got him. Oh, maybe we did.
Well, we got another internet disaster here on Rogue Radio.
I think I was just going to ask him, like, what are the main issues that he sees for, like, early crypto traders? Like, I think one of the main ones is, like, people flying into alts, and he's kind of already hit the nail on the head, but I don't know if he had anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we could just ask, like, some closing questions and then head to the Rollbit spins, because I don't have a hard cut anyway.
Pretty soon. Feels like we should probably head that way.
Yeah.
If the internet's not working for us, then...
Sorry, guys, in the audience for the cadence of the...
Literally four out of the last five guests.
The cadence of the interview here, but... Why don't we
really useful on this interview as well, I thought. I think he really added to the conversation.
Seth, frozen or something.
I was big at the beginning.
Sorry about that.
All good. I think we're going to like finish up in a second anyway, just because we have like the Fed meeting and whatnot, and we have to take 10 minutes through the Rollbit loot boxes. Before we do that, though, we want to ask you the same question we ask every guest, which is how not to get wrecked. Like, what's your best advice in this market?
My best advice is spend all your time and efforts in the process. The foundation strong. Once the foundations are strong, everything else will fall into place and you build naturally. You know, when people say you need a strategy, that's the best aspect. No, you need something basic, something to learn from. And while you're doing that process, if you do it properly, you'll develop yourself into something, and that people can't explain to you. You'll know yourself. So do the step one correctly, take all the time you need, and then the paycheck comes itself.
Perfect. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on.